This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, November 11th, 2021, the memorial of St. Martin of Tours, by Father William Doc Holliday.
No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a bushel, but on a stand. Those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is sound, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Today, the secular holiday of Veterans Day. Interesting that the two Catholic saints today, and there are two, St. Martin, of course, he was a soldier. St. Mena, who not a whole lot of people know about, he was also a soldier. Very popular in the Catholic Coptic Church and in the Eastern Orthodox Church, Egyptian. But both of them were legionnaires in the Roman army. Both contemporaries also. St. Mena was a little bit before St. Martin. He was born about 285. St. Martin was born 316. So they were contemporaries within a few years of one another. It is interesting to look at their lives, how the Lord, the Holy Spirit works in us when we look at, you know, men who can do what they, and they weren't bad soldiers. They were good soldiers. Both were very wealthy people. They both entered the army in very prestigious, ranks because of their fathers. So they, you know, they had a cushy job. They didn't really have to worry about too much of being on the front lines unless they wanted to. But, you know, they were good soldiers. Their men respected them both. But when the Lord started to move in their life, the pomps and the glories and the cool stuff of this world started to wane for them. It wasn't near as attractive as it was. St. Martin, again, we all know the story about him cutting off a portion of his cloak and giving it to a poor person, and then that really drove him into his life of asceticism. He went from being a soldier to becoming a monk, and then he became a bishop. Soldiers like this. Even when the Lord moves them, then if they're a good soldier, they bring that soldierly bearing with them. And St. Martin, you know, the story of it when he was dying, all his brothers are lamenting terribly that he's going to die. And if you're close to the Lord, you want to be like St. Paul and say, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, it is better, far better thing to be with the Lord. But he actually prays, Lord, if it's necessary, I do not want to leave them sheep among wolves. If it is necessary that I stay here, I will fight that fight. So he never loses his soldierly outlook on things. He becomes a bishop. Ultimately, he dies a peaceful death. Unlike St. Mena, he's a soldier. Same deal. Good soldier. The Lord starts to call him away, and he becomes a monk. Parallels, same thing up to this point. But the Lord actually appeared in a vision to St. Mena at one time and said to him, you're going to receive a threefold crown, one for your celibacy, which he had remained chaste his entire life, even when he was a soldier, your celibacy, your asceticism, being a monk, and not just a monk, but a very ascetic monk, a lot of depriving of himself, and for his being a martyr. He had always thought it would be a great thing and glorious thing to be a martyr, but as soon as he saw that vision for the Lord, he beelined to the ruler of that particular region and admitted his Christianity. He was a little bit before you know, a couple decades before St. Martin. St. Martin came in on the heels of persecution. When, as he grew up, there was no persecution. As a matter of fact, it was a heyday for Christianity in that area. Again, soldier, monk, bishop. Same man and not so lucky. Decades before, the persecutions are hot and heavy. Soldier, ascetic, monk, martyr. But as soon as he got that vision, he put it on himself. You know, he didn't wait for them to come and get him. He went, I think we could have an intramural debate as to whether or not that was really prudent or not. You know, if God wants you to be a martyr, he will let you be a martyr. Now, thrusting yourself into that, but he's Saint Manna. He's got that going for him. He's in heaven. He's got the beatific vision. I don't. So I'm not going to criticize. So this is the reality of how the Holy Spirit works. Two different men, again, contemporaries, but two different time periods, one of persecution, one not of persecution, but the Holy Spirit does the same thing in them. Again, almost exactly parallels. Interesting little footnote on St. Manna. During World War II, military buff, history, like that stuff, the Battle of El Alamein in 1942 between the British and the German forces in North Africa, the German forces were vastly superior in numbers and quality to anything that the Allies had at the time. And they knew there was going to be a battle, and the Allied morale was not what it really should be, because they had been defeat after defeat after defeat. It had just been going bad for them the whole time. And here we got another large battle going to go on. So they're not really positive about this whole thing. The Germans, on the other hand, were tremendously positive about their victory, because they'd done nothing but win and win and win. They actually pulled up in El Alamein, and there's a church there. They say that there are some relics there of St. Manna. And while the Germans were encamped the night before the battle, several German soldiers, they saw a vision of St. Manna with cavalry. Just not attacking or anything, just walking through the prayer. It demoralized them, and they lost that battle. It was actually a turning point in the North African campaign, and Winston Churchill actually spoke of the Battle of El Alamein being not maybe the beginning of the end, but the end of the beginning, because up to this point, we have had no victories, nothing but defeats. After this, we had no defeats, nothing but victories. Hey, 1942, you got saints showing up, and German soldiers aren't the most, well, some of them are at that time, in the grand scheme of things, not really what you could call the most pious in the world, and to be petrified of a vision that they saw as they were camped next to a church where some relics of St. Manna were. God still works. He still shines his light on us. This is the gospel today. When we look at the gospel, Luke chapter 11 specifically, verses 33 through 36, our Lord, before these verses started, he was talking repeatedly about signs, different signs that we see. You know, you have the sign of Noah, you have the sign of this, you have the sign of... After presenting his teaching on signs, he speaks about what we're supposed to do with these signs. We're not supposed to look at signs as consolations. We're not supposed to look at signs as some, you know, ostentatious display of God. We are supposed to use those signs. I know we all do. You pay particular attention to the words of the portion of the gospel that we read today. And what does it say about the light of Christ? Well, the light that comes into your soul, he doesn't mention a word about a soul. He said, when the light comes into your body will be light. Where is he going? He speaks of ensuring that your body is full of light. Do everything that you can to make sure everything that comes into your body is light. And then your body will be full of light, not your soul, your body. What is he saying there? The light of Christ has to encompass our entire being. The light of Christ has to be pervasive in our lives. This is that gospel passage. It's not about your soul. It's not about the spiritual side of things and the worldly side of things. You see these two saints, they were soldiers, again, high-ranking soldiers. All that good stuff that goes along with it. But when Christ came into their light, great as this is, it's temporal, it's worldly. So if it's got anything to do with the world, there's some taint to it. There is some corruption to it. So what do you got to do? You got to start getting away from that. You got to start focusing more and more on the light. You have to be attentive to the light. You have to absorb as much light as you possibly can. This is what they did. This is why they changed. Again, it's not a bad thing to be a soldier. Soldiers come to St. John the Baptist. What are we supposed to do? He said, stop being a soldier because you're supposed to believe in God and be all warm and fuzzy. He said, don't do any untoward or uncalled for violence. Don't steal things from people. He didn't tell them to stop being soldiers. So being a soldier is an honorable profession. It's a necessity in the sin, curse, and fallen world. But for somebody who's getting close to Christ, it's not the best thing. It's not the best thing. You have to move away from what might be cool in the world's eyes and start being attentive to Christ. Imagine going from one, you give an order and all kind of men do this. You're respected. You receive medals and banners and the music and everything like that. To go from that to I live in a cave and I eat bare minimum stuff, that whole ascetic thing, that's light. The world looks at it as dark. Man, that's a bummer that he has to live in a cave now because he was a high military law officer. No, he did that on purpose because living in the cave is much more lightsome, to use the old English version, than it is to be a glorious soldier in the world's eyes. And then in St. Manus' case, to lose your life for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how light his life became. St. Martin, again, not a martyr, but in a sense, not in the blood shedding, but the martyrdom. Yeah, I could go be with the Lord today, but if it's necessary, I'll stay with my brothers. That's a little martyrdom. And we're all supposed to be expected to give these little martyrs up. These are what these saints did. And so when we look at this idea of the Holy Spirit enlightening us, the world, and even we, as we struggle to receive more and more light, we have to understand that from the world standpoint, and even from our own standpoint, it might not look pretty at the beginning, but what we're not looking at is the beginning. We're looking at the end, because as the gospel ends up, if your body is bright and all that comes in your eyes is light, then it was going to be full of brightness. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.